The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The articles in this episode are from BlackEnterprise.com, and the first one is titled Waffle House Workers on Strike in South Carolina Over Security Issues. The Columbia-based employees are taking a stand against the gaps in security. However, before the strike commenced, the employees did voice their concern in a petition sent to upper management on July 1st. However, when they were met with silence, further action through direct protest had to be set. Fortunately for those on the strike, they are being supported by fellow workers impacted in their own industry and other restaurants, as all are part of the union to enact change for better wages and safer work environments. The next article is titled Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Inc. opens first of its kind for members only credit union. Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Inc. members recently participated in a special ribbon cutting ceremony. The organization held a grand opening for its new quote unquote for members only credit union. The ribbon cutting occurred at the organization's corporate headquarters in Chicago ahead of the 2023 Leadership Seminar. FMO, for members only, is the first Black-owned, woman-led, sorority-based digital banking financial institution in the history of the United States, and some of our sisters even signed up on site, the organization wrote on Instagram. ABC7 reported that the 115-year-old sorority initiated plans for the credit union a few years ago, focusing on efforts to generate economic and financial stability for women of color. Everyone doesn't understand the impact we make financially, so you have to start doing things so folks know we know how to control our money. Danita Anthony Reed, international president and CEO of AKA Sorority, told the outlet. Throughout its first year of operations, members of FMO will have access to primary savings, loans, and other banking services. We want to invest in what we own, said FMO board member Deidre Hayes Wiggum. It's just awesome to know we'll have the opportunity to actually do something financial, AKA sorority member Monica Teal said. FMO will serve members of the AKA sorority and their immediate families. Additionally, those who work for the credit union and the organization will be granted access to the credit union's services. According to Terry Bradford Eason, FMO Federal Credit Union Executive Director, every member will be an owner of the credit union. FMO is chartered, regulated, and insured by the National Credit Union Administration. The women of the AKA sorority have been working at creating new establishments on behalf of the organization. As previously reported by Black Enterprise, the Gamma Omega chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Society and the sorority's nonprofit Ivy Alliance Foundation announced a collaboration to transform the former St. Louis home of the sorority's founder, Ethel Hegeman Lyle, into a museum. A land dedication for the 12,000 square foot community center took place in December 2022. The next article is titled CB2 is on a mission to uplift Black artists with the newly launched Black in Design Collective. Canadian-born designer Evan Jerry wants Black art accessible to as many people as possible. The studio Anansi founder is bringing together the voices and stories of Black designers through the Black in Design Collective, a new CB2 assortment featuring a global home decor collection from 11 Black artists and designers. According to Elle Decor, Jerry's partnership with CB2 aims to highlight the stories of underrepresented groups to change the industry's lack of diversity. The Black in Design Collective gives Black artists a platform to reach a broader audience. The assortments feature designs that speak to a range of cultures and backgrounds. The brief was to express how you see Black futures in design, Jerry said. How designers perceived that was completely up to them. I was very mindful not to interfere with how they wanted to express that. Kenyan multidisciplinary designer Sandra brings an international perspective to the collection with her dome coffee table constructed from traditional Kikuyu stool silhouettes. I didn't want to just focus on the Western gaze and what's happening in North America, Jerry said. I wanted to have a very international approach to this so we can see how Black narratives connect from a global perspective and how they differ. Dimitri Zepier's inspired light fixtures are also presented as part of the collection, along with architect and furniture designer Jerome Byron's side table and console that balance positive and negative space. Jerry also has some featured pieces in the collection, including his Arc Bronze Velvet Bench, which conveys a message of unity and coming together. I wanted something as important as this to be as accessible as possible to the most people, Jerry said. Other designers featured in the Black in Design Collective include Nigerian and New York designer Lanny, Florida fiber artist and textile designer Elon Bird, Garth Roberts of Garth in Germany, Forbes Masters founders Tavia Forbes and Monette Masters of Atlanta, French furniture designer Axel Mert, New York multidisciplinary designer Luam Maleki, and Jean Marc Bullitt, founder of Adler Bullitt in Martinique. The next article is titled McDonald's Franchise Implements a No-Quit Policy. A photo has gone viral online showing how McDonald's is responding to extreme staffing shortages. The image posted to Instagram on July 13th showed a sign inside a McDonald's restaurant describing a no-quit policy. The message has sparked a slew of pushback. The Instagram post shows a yellow sign tacked to the wall in an unidentified restaurant. The message written across the bottom of the sign allegedly explains the reasons for the policy's implementation. It read, "Because we feel that many situations can be resolved, it is the policy that an employee cannot quit until he or she talks to the restaurant manager or area supervisor." The sign also read, "We value you, your growth, and your contributions. This is a no-quit restaurant." The sign sparked backlash at the restaurant that posted it, although it has been confirmed that the no-quit policy is an individual restaurant's implementation. The at-will employment law has been brought up surrounding the controversial policy. The at-will employment law stipulates that although management is able to fire an employee at will for any reason besides discrimination, an employer also places no requirements on whether an employee can quit at any moment or not. This means the no-quit McDonald's goes against all their employees' rights. Folks on social media expressed how ridiculous they thought the policy was. The next article is titled, "Delaware Wants to Level the Playing Field for Black Business Owners and Landlords with Grants Up to $25,000. Minority small business owners and landlords in low to moderate income areas can apply for energy grants. Spark grants up to $25,000 are made possible thanks to a partnership between Wilmington City Councilwoman Shane Darby and Energize Delaware. Specifically, landlords qualify for up to $20,000 and minority business owners can get up to $25,000 in grants. Delaware Public Media reported 20 minority business owners will be awarded Spark grants, Councilwoman Darby said, according to the media outlet. There are some landlords who cannot get access to capital, right? And when you have that issue where there's lack of access to capital, there's even some landlords who are not able to fix up their property. Minority Business Owner Grant recipients will also become members of the Sustainable Business Network of Greater Philadelphia, according to the media outlet. The membership will last for 1 year. According to Delaware Public Media, Darby also said, "So I think this balances out the playing field for landlords who are low income, who don't have access to capital because of the area that they have their residential unit in." The councilwoman told the outlet, "The grants will benefit the entire city of Wilmington. So I think this is a game changer for the city. I hope that landlords in the city apply for it, and that just means better housing stock for renters. So it's a win-win for everybody in the city. And to also help small minority business owners is a win-win for the city." Housing reform is at the top of Councilwoman Darby's mind. According to Wilmington City Council's page, she said, "Like most of us today, the need for housing reform, criminal justice reform, and protection for working class and Wilmington's poor families are the most pressing concerns on my mind. I realized I needed to take a more direct approach to community activism, transforming my ability as a community organizer into a tangible leadership position within my hometown. Grant applications will be open until July 31st. Landlords and minority business owners are encouraged to visit energyequityfund.org/grants/for more information. The next article is titled, TikTok influencer detained in Dubai on charges of allegedly screaming in public. A vacation in Dubai for a Houston trucker turned TikTok influencer has turned into a nightmare. Tierra Young Allen has been detained in Dubai for almost 2 months. Her crime? Screaming in public. Fox 26 Houston reports. Allen, 29, has been trying to get back home, but her mother, Tina Baxter, says her passport has been confiscated. Baxter claims her daughter is in jail after she and a friend rented a car and got into an accident. When she went back to the rental car company for her ID, credit card, and other items, things went left. She found out she could only receive those items if she paid an undisclosed amount of money. She dealt with a very aggressive individual, a young man there who was screaming at her. Baxter said it also could result in prison time, so it's very scary. Community activist Cornell X is working with Baxter and her family to advocate for Allen to be returned to the United States. He said Allen's only crime was using her voice in Dubai, a country where women are primarily told to keep quiet. She is in jail for one reason and one reason alone. She raised her voice, Quinnell X said. In that country, a female is not even allowed to raise her voice. If she raises her voice, it's punishable by jail time. According to the Daily Beast, she could actually face prison time as Dubai authorities have surveillance video of her raising her voice. This wasn't Allen's first time in Dubai. In November 2022, the influencer posted a video of her test driving a Mercedes-Benz truck. She says she was told she'd be the first female to ever drive a truck in the country. Pending the investigation, Baxter says on top of her passport being confiscated, her daughter is on a travel ban list, restricting her from leaving Dubai. It's been very emotional. There are some days I stay up all night crying, Baxter said. It's very frightening. The longer she's been there, the more reality has started to kick in. The next article is titled, Barack Obama Uses TikTok to Support Libraries' Pushback on Book Ban. Former President Barack Obama is standing with libraries nationwide in the fight against book bans. Staff at the Kankakee Public Library in Illinois have gone viral on TikTok with book recommendations, location upgrades, and more several times, but in a new post on July 17th. They took things up a notch with a guest appearance from Obama himself, with the caption, "Reading can transport you to new worlds." The library staff can be seen reading banned books like Alice Walker's The Color Purple and Angie Thomas's The Hate U Give, and using cool transitions to show different locations within the library, with Burna Boy's hit single Last playing in the background. The video ends with the 44th president sitting with a good book and a cup of tea. Obama has partnered with numerous libraries across the country to film TikTok content to increase awareness of library services and promote access to books, the Washington Post reports. And this is the first video of the series. With over 2,500 book titles banned in 2022 alone, data shows that number doubled in 2023. States like Georgia, Florida, and Texas have been at the forefront of the book ban with the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights investigating a Georgia-based school district that removed 8 books from all libraries and media centers deemed inappropriate for containing sexually explicit material. Almost 19 states have legislation that would punish people for providing minors with harmful, obscene, or sexually explicit books. In hopes of spreading the word, Obama posted a lengthy love letter to books on Twitter, saying librarians are on the front lines in the fight. Some of the books that shaped my life and the lives of so many others are being challenged by people who disagree with certain ideas or perspectives, he wrote. He continued to challenge people to read his letter and share his support for libraries that may be struggling. According to Forbes, Obama also made TikTok videos with the Harris County Library in Texas with the library's mascot, Curbside Larry. The next article is titled, Former Minnesota Viking Stephen Weatherly is taking his talents from the football field to the boardroom. Most players entering the NFL only worry about post-career opportunities once they are right there. That was the case of former Minnesota Viking Stephen Weatherly before a knee injury decided that for him, according to Star Tribune, Weatherly participated in a program designed to help athletes build professional networks once their playing career is over. That program prepared the former defensive player for what he is doing now. After a knee injury in 2022, doctors informed him that he was close to having to get his knee replaced to continue playing football. To him, that was a sign to pursue some business leads that had crossed his mind. After obtaining his real estate license and selling his house, he launched his own business, Athlete Recruitment Center. It's a one-stop recruiting shop for coaches to get information on college and high school players at the camps Weatherly is launching. Yet, he still felt like he had more to learn to have a successful business. In June 2023, the former football player attended the Institute for Athletes' 4th Annual Player Empowerment Summit. IFA President Blake Baratz said that he started the summit to help his clients build connections to help them better transition from player to businessman. The 3-day conference allows players and business executives to learn and network with each other. Coming to events like this, learning how to network, learning how to convey the passion that I have in a concise way, it's my new thing, Weatherly said. I am no longer learning like 30 short plays. I'm learning how to pitch to C-suite executives. Since the average NFL career does not typically last up to 4 years, Baratz, who has been an NFL agent for nearly 20 years, has always tried to get players ready for post-NFL life after some of them make salaries up to 7 figures. The Institute for Athletes' annual Player Empowerment Summit helps him assist others so they can have a productive business life after leaving the football field. The next article is titled, NC Woman Graduates from Nursing Program Mother Created. A diploma hidden within a car trunk led to the remarkable discovery of a shared graduation date between a North Carolina mother and daughter, as the latter received her degree from the very nursing program the former helped establish at St. Andrews University. In a story by local news outlet WRAL, Dr. Dorothy Miller gave birth to daughter Shaquita Brandy as a teenager. However, her young motherhood was motivation to pursue her education goals, going on to obtain not only a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, but also continuing in her studies all the way to a doctoral degree. Dr. Miller's accomplishments led to her pioneering a nursing program at the North Carolina school. This past May, her daughter became the first graduate of the very legacy she built. The strong mother came from a rural upbringing in Pine Tops, North Carolina, where, although resources were scarce, Miller was always encouraged by her mother not to let her upbringing determine her future. When Miller got pregnant at 15, her mother continued supporting her as she pursued these aspirations. Her goal for me was to not stop school, she said of her daughter's grandmother. I had my child on a Friday, and my mother made sure I was in school that next Monday. Even after pursuing a career in the military, Miller was aware of how education changed the trajectory of her life and sought to empower other aspiring nursing students by creating that academic path at St. Andrews. Today, Miller is the department chair of health sciences at the university and utilizing her multiple degrees in a bid for her home state's board of nursing. Remembering her roots, she hopes to address the disparities regarding health care in rural towns like the one she grew up in, as well as keep quality nurses within these areas. Being a living testimony to Black mothers' strength and determination, no matter the age at which they start, is what drives Miller to accomplish any goal. What some people saw as a mistake, having a child so young, to me was a catalyst. I think that if I hadn't been given the opportunity to have that child, I wouldn't have accomplished what I did. By having her, it pushed me to do something outside of me so that I could have a better future for her. The next article is titled, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Deborah Lee, and more named honorary Delta Sigma Theta members. Historically Black sorority, Delta Sigma Theta is adding more elephants to its roster starting July 19, 2023. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, former BET CEO Deborah Lee, and MSNBC President Rashida Jones are among the change maker sorors. The news entity titled Because of Them, We Can, reports the ladies will receive this prestigious award during the 56th National Convention. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.